Being a fool in the right places. The lesson for the small is, be human. Except that being human involves some amount of epistemic arrogance in running your affairs. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't try to always withhold judgment. Opinions are the stuff of life. Don't try to avoid predicting. Yes, after this diatribe about prediction, I am not urging you to stop being a fool. Just be a fool in the right places. Dan Gilbert showed in a famous paper how mental systems believe that we're not natural skeptics and that not believing required an expenditure of mental effort. What you should avoid is unnecessary dependence on large-scale harmful predictions, those and only those. Avoid the big subjects that may hurt your future. Be fooled in small matters, not in the large. Don't listen to economic forecasters or to predictors in social science. They're mere entertainers. But do make your own forecast for the picnic. By all means, demand certainty for the next picnic. But avoid government Social Security forecasts for the year 2040. Know how to rank beliefs not according to their plausibility, but by the harm they may cause. Be prepared. The reader might feel queasy reading about these general failures to see the future and wonder what to do. But if you shed the idea of full predictability, there are plenty of things to do provided you remain conscious of their limits. Knowing that you can't predict doesn't mean that you can't benefit from unpredictability. The bottom line? Be prepared. Narrow-minded prediction has an analgesic or therapeutic effect. Be aware of the numbing effect of magic numbers. Be prepared for all relevant eventualities. The idea of positive accident. Recall the empirics, those members of the Greek school of empirical medicine. They considered that you should be open-minded in your medical diagnoses to let luck play a role. By luck, a patient might be cured, say, by eating some food that accidentally turns out to be the cure for his disease, so that the treatment can then be used on subsequent patients. The positive accident, like hypertension medicine producing side effects that led to Viagra, was the empiric central method of medical discovery. This same point can be generalized to life. Maximize the serendipity around you. Sextus Empiricus retold the story of Apelles the painter, who, while doing a portrait of a horse, was attempting to depict the foam from the horse's mouth. After trying very hard and making a mess, he gave up, and in irritation took the sponge he used for cleaning his brush and threw it at the picture. Where the sponge hit, it left a perfect representation of the foam. Trial and error means trying a lot. In The Blind Watchmaker, Richard Dawkins brilliantly illustrates this notion of the world without grand design, moving by small, incremental, random changes. Note a slight disagreement on my part that doesn't change the story by much. The world, rather, moves by large, incremental random changes. Indeed, we have psychological and intellectual difficulties with trial and error, and with accepting that series of small failures are necessary in life. My colleague Mark Spitznagel understood that we humans have a mental hang-up about failures. You need to love to lose, was his motto. In fact, the reason I felt immediately at home in America is precisely because American culture encourages the process of failure, unlike the cultures of Europe and Asia, where failure is met with stigma and embarrassment. America's specialty is to take these small risks for the rest of the world, which explains this country's disproportionate share in innovations. Once established, an idea or product is later perfected over there.